Now,
Thank you very
Niall,
much.
I want you to have a look at another image on my mobile phone. There it is. Have a little look there, if you would. And you can see there are several pairs of swallows, ceramic swallows, in flight. And these were on sale in a souvenir shop on the way up to St. George's Castle in Lisbon, high up in the hills. And that's the castle we spoke about earlier at the top of the programme when we were referring to the peacocks mating display. But at any rate, you could buy them everywhere in various forms and variations. And I'm just wondering, what is the connection between swallows and Lisbon and Portugal?
Well, the thing is that when you go to Portugal, you see these ceramic representations of swallows all over the place. It's a real national symbol, and I'm sure many people who've been there on their holidays have taken them back as souvenirs. The thing is that within Portuguese culture, as in much of Europe, the swallow, it's a symbol of the return of the summer. It's the time of fruitfulness. You see these birds coming back in. And a lot of people would see it as very good luck to have swallows nesting in and around their homes. So in one sense, they're kind of like a... They don't, not that they replicate the swallows or attract them in, but that's kind of the thought behind it, that it's good luck talismans that these swallows will come back and bring the luck with them.
But why don't we do it here? Sure, but the same thing is here. We can say, oh, the swallows are back.
Yeah, I suppose it's just a different cultural thing. We have cultural, traditions around other birds. If you think about the wren, for example, on St. Stephen's Day, for so on, you think about the fondness that people have here for robins and all the superstitions and so on that they build around them. But there are a lot of things still around swallows in Ireland. Certainly in agricultural circles, it would have been a bird that people would look out for and return. I suppose, though, the one key difference would be that in places like Portugal, which are further south, they hold on to the swallows for longer than we do. So they're still migrants there. Although, having said that, we are seeing increasing numbers of swallows in Portugal and also in neighbouring Spain that aren't bothering to leave for Africa at all. So this is now a bird that you can see in Portugal year round, particularly in the southern part of the country. And so it's actually no longer really a sign of returning spring or summer, because you can see them any time of the year. So things are changing, and that'll change the tradition, who knows?
Mind you, in Ireland, people mix up swallows and house martins, although we know the swallows are nesting indoors in people's barns and sheds, and it's the barn swallow and the ones on the houses. And then you get people complaining about them on the houses because they poo all down the front of the house and drop on their heads. We don't have the same welcome for these birds and see them as a sign of returning spring one swallow doesn't make a summer. But certainly in Portugal, this porcelain thing, I mean, the rooster is the emblem of Portugal, and you can buy tiles with the rooster in it as well. They have this, and the storks, of course, mm-hmm. They come all over Southern Europe, but bringing the babies with them, as we all know. And so this business of birds being part of their celebration each year, as particularly the migratory ones that mark the changes of the seasons, does seem to be more evident in southern European countries than here in Ireland. The ones we love are the cuckoo. The cuckoo comes back, everybody goes, and the corncrake to a certain extent, but that's so rare now, people don't hear it. But the cuckoo was the one that really was an indication of summer in Ireland for though, rather than, I would think, the swallow.
And I think that what's similar as well between the swallows and the storks, although they're very different birds, is that not alone are they migratory, but they also tend to nest around human structures. So they'll nest in the porch or in the barn, or in the case of the storks, they'll nest on chimney tops or on tops of telegraph poles and so on. And they're also very faithful to those nest sites. So I know that in Portugal, both the swallow and the stork, which also breeds there, they are seen as symbols of fidelity. They return year after year to the same location. So it's not just, a sign of the seasons returning and life going on in that way. It's also a sign of like faithfulness to that household. They're seen as their birds. And that's kind of deeply ingrained in the tradition.
Has that anything to do with them being great explorers, you know, returning home after a long voyage? Do you know the way sailors, I don't know many sailors, can I? But sailors would often get a tattoo of a swallow on their forearm.
They are world travellers, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, we have to look at the history of Portugal, a wonderful country today, of course, but it's sometimes easy to forget that it was once a major global superpower. And the Portuguese empire pretty much expanded the globe. And there's still remnants of that around the planet in places where Portuguese is spoken, where there is a Catholic tradition that they brought to many parts of Asia particularly. And from that point of view, the swallow was a species that you would see in all of that empire. So if you happen to be in Goa or Macau or Brazil, you still had the same swallows. You went to Cape Verde, you had the same swallows. You were in Angola, you had the same swallows. And that's perhaps a symbol of maybe the only bird that you'd find pretty much across the whole Portuguese Empire. So it's a symbol you recognise everywhere.
Well, I've just done a little bit of research, Niall. And what does the swallow tattoo mean?
You've got to get one, Derek.
Yeah, well, it means lots of things. It means a return after a long departure, which mm-hmm. is what I thought anyway. Love and affection for family and friends. Now, why would it be love and affection for family and friends?
Well, the thing is, it was often thought that because swallows would return to the same nest year after year, they were very faithful, and they thought that this fidelity might extend to their partners, and they thought they were, you know, life, mating for life. Genetic work has really turned that on its head, and we've actually seen that they're very unfaithful birds. And in fact, what's happening is that if you have a brood of swallows in the nest, the father, in inverted commas, of the pair, he may not actually be the father of any of those chicks,
or
maybe only one of them, and the next door neighbour might be father of most of them, but vice versa, he's been mating with the next door female, and so they're spreading the genetic diversity. The females are doing this behind the males' backs, and this is what's going on. So actually, we humans, we were sort of projecting all of these sort of, I suppose, what we would see as desirable human traits on the birds, but of course they don't care about that at all.
Well, another point is loyalty. So they're loyal to the same nesting site, presumably. Triumph over adversity.
Well, if you think what swallows have to go through on their migratory journeys, it's really quite staggering. And the sad fact of it is that the vast majority of the young swallows that we see leaving Ireland each autumn, or indeed leaving Portugal, they won't return. They'll die in migration. It's really the fittest of the fit only, and the luckiest of the lucky, who will get to return. And they will then breed. And with swallows, they'll often breed in their first year. And if they made the journey once before, then odds are they may live for another 4 or 5 years and they go on to reproduce. But it's really only the very fittest of the fit that do get to survive. And so those that do get back are indeed very lucky. And so I suppose that when you see a swallow returning back, you realise, well, that's one of the fortunate ones.
So do the children come back to the same nest site as well as the parents, if any of them survive? The chances of parents and children all surviving to come back, the whole lot of them, are very slim. But they all, whoever survives does come back to the general area.
They do. They will return to the same area. And of course, if that nesting site is destroyed or no longer exists, what they'll do is they'll move to somewhere close by. But if it's still possible to nest there, they will. If the original nest still exists, they'll use it again. If it's fallen down, as it often will, because they're made of mud and they crumble, they'll build a new one quite quickly. So that's what happens there. Also, an interesting thing about swallows, which is very unusual in the world of birds, when they have several broods during the summer, the older siblings will help to feed their younger siblings from the subsequent.
Why is that unusual?
Because for most birds, and indeed wild creatures, it's very unusual for them to be altruistic towards younger siblings, because all their effort is focused on themselves and their own chicks. The theory there is, however, that with the swallows, this is a way to ensure that the genes get carried on. So your younger brother or sister, or indeed your niece and your nephew, they do carry some of your own genetic material.
They're only hanging around. I mean, they can't go back to Africa until everybody's going at the end of September. They were the first brood, maybe in whatever they come, April, May. And sure, what else would they be doing, only helping with the brothers and sisters to keep them all going? It's not like they can set up another nest or move to another territory. This is where they are for the summer. So they're helping, saving the hay at the end of August, like other nephews and nieces might be doing.
And maybe a way for them to actually practice, to get some experience under their belts. So if they are the lucky ones who do return the following year, they already know how to feed chicks, what signs look out for, those kind of things. So yeah, they're really fascinating birds.
Another reason for having the tattoo of a swallow on your person: success, rebirth, freedom and fighting prowess.
Well, you can see how for something like the Portuguese Empire, that kind of fighting prowess and that power, that'd be a symbol that you'd want to convey to others. But I do think it is about triumphing over adversity, this loyalty, all these things. And also, let's face it, swallows are beautiful looking birds. They're lovely to listen to as well, that chattering song that they have. There's something very joyous about them, and it's wonderful to watch them swoop around. And of course, they would also play a major role in eating insects. And at a time when malaria was a huge problem in southern Europe and in parts of the Portuguese Empire as well, the swallow would have been seen as a bird that would help by going around eating those mosquitoes that caused the problem. So it's definitely a bird you want to have around you.
So the next time you go to Portugal, look out for the swallow or emblems or icons of Aina, yeah?
You were there at the end of January. Were there any actually swallows there?
No, I didn't see any. No, lots of sparrows.
When you were there, Derek, did you try that other Lisbon emblem, the custard tarts that they have?
I did, yeah, the Natal...
Pastiche de Nata, or something. Yeah. Forgive my pronunciation.
It was okay. It's cheap, though, I can tell you. I did have one with an espresso for €2. I don't think there's many places in Ireland you could find an espresso and a custard tart for €2. Anyway, but before we go, that was, as I said, at the end of January. When is the earliest recording of a swallow in Ireland, do you know?
Well, we actually have records now of some that haven't bothered to migrate at all.
So they're staying put.
You will say, but we're only talking two or three, perhaps, around Cork and Kerry. You would start to see returning birds. There may be the odd, you know, pioneer that would come back in February. The fact of it is, though, that most of those probably die or have to move on, because although we're into springtime now, we shouldn't forget that February and March are the coldest months of the year. So we see, in Ireland at least, we see the bulk of them arriving back between really from late March into April.
All right. Now, thank you very much indeed. Thanks also to Éanan Éileanna and Richard Collins. That's all we have time for. Visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Until next week, the same time. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.